You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
And then, you know what she said? Her name was Honey. So we went to in North Hollywood during lunch. Picture this, you're at work during lunch, and you go get free sandwiches at the Gentlemen's Club. And the first thing the girl does is get up and, you know, she's dancing. It's fucking noontime, dude. It's like there's light everywhere because in there somehow the windows were open. This lady is trying to get us, you know, going.
Yeah.
And then we're like, we're here for the sandwiches. We're not here. Oh, shit. And then so the show begins, guys. This is where we're coming from, a place of utter nuttiness or craziness. And as they say, let the proverbial good times roll with my boy here. I have a great dude in the studio. The guy is a powerhouse. There's not a single thing he cannot do. I gotta say,
appreciate it, bro.
I mean, it's unreal. Like, you're a CEO of your own company. You started when you were in diapers because you don't look older than 25. The guy is unbelievable.
Bro.
He's,
thank you, bro.
You know, they say he's a bit of a local legend. You know, and I think you're a trailblazer in every respect of the word. I'm referring, guys. Please help me welcome Mr. B. Smooth.
Hey.
Yo.
Fake clap.
No, we could actually clap. I was telling that to my
friend. No, we just need a button.
There you go. Yeah. You're used to the button thing.
I'm used to the button.
Yeah, because that goes in line with the show you guys are going to be working on. You're already in the throes of that, which we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we are live. You know, my show is Almost Famous. But here's the irony. Like, the irony is, like, most people
I like that name.
You like it?
I like that title. I had a song called Almost Famous.
You did?
A song, yeah, it's called Almost Famous.
Right, because the guy can, you can spit some bars. Are you going to be doing any improv? You're going to do some kind of improv?
I mean, you know, I might every now and then do some stuff just to, you know, flex a little bit, but, you know. I'm at a CEO standpoint
now. Yeah. He's on.
You know, just to let him know I'm still engaged.
That's
with
right.
The art, you know.
That's right. And you obviously you did a lot with different stuff. Like,
yes.
You were hanging out with Snoop Dogg. So I want to hear all about Snoop and Raekwon from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No shit. And Too Short, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Will you agree? While I'm living my life, don't mess with me.
Yeah.
I took it, right? I took
Legend.
It back.
Legend.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my bro, man.
Wow. And, well, let's start from the beginning, man. Why don't we start?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, let's start from the beginning.
What? All right, so where you want to start?
I want to start from the crib. Like, literally from your first digs. Like, you started off when you were a kid. Like, how old were you when you started and you got this flicker of, like, of an iota? Like, this idea that just somehow you started nurturing. Like, I want to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be an entrepreneur. Wait, I want to rule the world.
Mm.
If I rule the world.
Nas. I opened up for Nas before too.
Wow.
Yeah, legend. Well, I started basically, I would say, you know, I have a lot of different, like you said, different angles on how I want to like calculate this. You
the
know
approach.
What I mean? But I can really say, like, I was influenced back. I'm from Michigan originally, Flint, Michigan. So, like, you know, one of my big cousins, Jimmy, he used to always sing the song, Da Ha, Da Ha,
uh-huh.
Da Ha, 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 Rapping Duke.
Okay.
And so I used to, like, try to learn that song because it was just, like, so popular. And every
sure.
time he rapped it, it just made me be like, man, I want to learn that, you know. But then, like, LL Cool J came out, you know, and then Run DMC. Like,
I love Run DMC. These
artists all had an effect on me. But then I transitioned to California because I moved with my dad. So when I did that, California like opened up my mind to a whole nother like perspective, and I was receiving more music than I was back in Michigan. You know, I was just like fluttered with so much different type of music. The Beastie Boys, like I just started getting aware of a whole bunch, and then it was like really a culture shock from moving from Flint, Michigan to California.
Yeah. So like, help me understand, those of us that are listening, the viewership here. There are people tuning in by the hundreds, baby. Where it's viral, man.
You're doing numbers,
you're
bro. We really going to do some numbers after this one, man. Trust me.
Yeah, because they have no idea who you are. So I want to know, like, What was the transition like? I mean, it is a culture shock. LA is a whole other like planet, almost a cosmos within a cosmos, I like to call it. Mm-hmm. What did you see different? What was the obvious differences? Well, when you touched down in LA?
Oh, LA. No, that transition was from Flint, Michigan to Sacramento. Mm, mm. Yeah.
Cali in general.
Yeah. So LA, this is a brand new thing. I've only been here like 7 months.
Right.
You know? So, but no, Sacramento, it was just
baby.
Yeah, Sac Town, Sac City. You know what I mean? 916. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all my peoples in 916, man. Y'all know what it is, man. We out here doing this worldwide. But yeah, Sacramento was different. I wasn't used to seeing other cultures. You know, Flint, Michigan was nothing but, you know, my culture, inner city. You know what I mean? Like, when we seen specks of, you know, minorities, you know, that would be a minority to me in his standpoint, you know. Like,
right.
But just seeing, you know, white people, it was like a rare.
Yeah.
And then when I came out here, that was all I seen.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, wow. So I had to really just adapt a little bit culture-wise just on how things worked out here and this life of a melting pot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Sacramento was cool though. Like, I like Sacramento. You know, I did a lot of good things out there, you know.
Capital, baby.
Yeah, it's the capital, you know. So I was just well rounded. And so I learned how to cut hair by trade.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, I was a limo driver. We talked about this before the show.
Yeah, man.
So you know, we gotta show. I want to talk about
it. Yeah. How was it being a limo driver, though? Like, because you know what? I'm going to tell you a real story.
Okay.
So, like, when, like.
We're keeping it authentic here, by the way.
This is authentic. Like, genuine, you guys are hearing some real.
The real shit.
You know what I mean? The one-on-one. Uh-huh. So, like, my dad, rest in peace to my dad, God, Michael David.
That's right.
He was a hairstylist, and, you know, him and his brothers, like, they was, like, big in the hair industry. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he used to have limos. They used to have limos. And they used to pick up celebrities and stuff. And so he would literally take the limo home a lot. So we used to go to school in limos. Like, kids was, like, tripping off of us. How would
they were tricked out, though, back then?
Nah, it was the basic, you know, the square Lincoln limo, you know.
Yeah,
you
but know? It came with the solid bar in the middle and the girl dancing with it. I tell you, this is like no other show you've ever been to, by the way.
Hey, that's only in Jimmy's limo. You know what I mean? Like, Jimmy ride like that. He got the custom.
You're a snorting cocaine.
Oh, my God. The chick's ass. What? In the seventh grade? That would have been one hell of a life. I would already be a pop star. Like, I would have, like, I probably have wrinkles for sure. Uh-huh. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we know him. He been snorting cocaine since the seventh grade.
That Pearl Jam, right?
Right. No, bro, that wasn't my life, but that was a good one, though. I like that.
You like that joke, huh?
Yeah, but my dad, he used to just take us to school in limos, you know, every so often, and, you know, kids was, like, tripping off of us, like, man, who are you guys? Like,
yeah.
And we was blessed. We was lucky. But to us, we didn't see it like they seen it. It was just natural for us because we knew
it's a way of life in the industry.
Yeah. It was a way of life, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I did some... Deep dives, bro. And your pops, I saw some pictures. Your dad, God rest his soul. Yeah, he looked like he seemed like he was always dapper and knew people in the industry.
Oh, man, my dad. Yeah,
he was
fashion icon.
Yeah.
You know, just an icon, period. Yeah. You know, like, ain't too many people that male, like, hairstylist that.
Just manicured hair, everything. It was just perfect.
He was different. He was different, you know, and he always was the cleanest, the sharpest, and his personality was bigger than life. And the most important thing that I learned from my dad is to just really always be real and be authentic. Like, my dad is just real.
And be smooth.
Yeah, be smooth. That's what he
birthed. You're a smooth operator.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for real. Sade.
For sure. You know?
But yeah, man, I love my dad, man, and I miss him a lot. But, you know, he gave me the game.
The tools. The game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for real. He did.
He did.
And the wherewithal, like, the knowledge. And all you need, that's it. People think it's money, and you can inherit, like, pots of money, just loads of boatloads of money.
And don't know what to do with it.
You're going to blow that money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Talk about hookers and drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
No, for real.
That's real,
dude. I think I just have a great balance with, you know, my dad and my mom. Like, they both gave me a lot of juice. My mom is very spiritual, and she really just kept me grounded. And, you know, I mean, I grew up with my mom, even though my dad was in my life. But, you know, it's like until I came to California, then my dad really picked up the other tools and said, hey, now this how you be a man. You feel me? So I got the best of both worlds.
You did. You know As they say, if there's a good man, there's a greater woman behind.
Man, I'm waiting on it, too.
Oh, yeah, the real, you know, when it's around the corner, you just don't know it.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, everything's already as is. Like, it's almost like when you're a child and you birth into the world, you open you open your eyes.
Open your eyes, and you just like,
holy moly. Yeah, well, what in the world is this? But you don't know, there are no boundaries. There's nothing, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know anything other than what you see, what's there. And you don't realize, like, you just know that you don't even know that you're going to eat. Even if you did know that you're going to eat, you would know something. Yeah. But you don't.
But you don't.
You know, just things just happen.
I agree with you.
And that's kind of like how life is.
Yeah.
Serendipity. How you ended up here.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know.
Now I'm on your podcast.
Yeah,
I'm on
my podcast.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's even
you know
crazy.
What I mean? A man,
I'm almost famous.
Almost famous.
But you are famous.
Nah, you are though, man. You know, you got a podcast called Almost Famous. And it's just a testament of where you really at, because like you went through that process of being almost famous. And to me, it's just more of a mindset.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I love the, you know, the cliche of it. But at the end of the day, like, famous is it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And it's one of them things where, like, you are famous already.
Yeah.
It's just, it don't matter if 10 people know you or 20,000 or 20 million.
Right.
You know
it's all
mean?
In your mind.
It's all in your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you never, you treat yourself with a certain dignity. That's what makes you famous. Like, you keep yourself.
You're a legend, bro. Even before you become a legend, because that's to the world standards. But you first have to believe in it. And then you are already a legend inside. And if you truthfully and wholeheartedly believe in it, then it shall happen, right?
Exactly.
It all unravel right before your eyes.
Nah, for real. And it's like, I tell people, like, you know, I got a lot of youngsters that, you know, always DM me and stuff. And they always like, man, Smoovy, like, you inspire me in this.
Yeah.
And I do my best to inspire people.
You hit me like that, bro. Like, the kind of guy that people just hit you up on DM, like, hey, man. Because you're doing great things. And I really want to, like, I want to also board those topics and sort of talk about that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You have 316. Tell us a little bit about your LLC.
Yes.
So, you know, the viewership here, the 150,000 people that are watching us.
Let's push Jimmy Almost Famous Show to 1 million, y'all.
Let's
come
do
on,
it.
We
come
can
on.
Do this. Let's get my guy
together.
Up to 1 million. I need you to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, and subscribe. And
I love
go on
that.
Facebook and subscribe to Almost Famous page.
Yeah.
And we're going to run his numbers up. We're going to show him how God works. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yes.
Listen to this. So, I'm here to tell you that the power invested by the city of the state of California, the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I am gonna run for politics. I'm gonna. I declare myself the honorary mayor of the city of Tarzana.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Hey, he letting you guys know right now. You're getting this breaking news on Almost Famous. My man is running.
Hot, dude, it's hot.
Hey,
the dial is hot.
Dog, I'm getting chills just like you saying that. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to move over in this district now.
Man, I'm getting a boner just thinking
my
about it.
You get my vote. Hey, hold on. Let me call up one of them limo girls for you.
Hey, let me ask
you
something.
Oh, shoot. She hit me.
Shit.
Oh,
what the
Jimmy got it like that.
Dude. Wait, you're the one that smoked and I got secondhand, which is okay. It's okay by me, man.
But look, we drinking water, though.
Yeah,
so, you
it's
know
all
me?
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, quote-unquote water. It is water. Guys, I want to thank my boy because, you know what? I mean, just this positivity that's flowing through this, you know, conduit of, you know, light almost.
Yeah.
And it just feels like it's great. It's like a synergy. Like you said earlier, it is a synergy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And we complement one another and let's just get married. Fuck it.
Let's get these numbers, man. Hey, yo, Jimmy is one of a kind, man. All I'm going to tell you guys is, like, he is original.
OG.
Like, you know, and people may, you know, are used to, like, certain stigmas when it comes to podcasts or simplicity or, like, the basic questions and this and that. Like, you know, you love the twist. And you put people on a roller coaster.
That's
right. And that's one reason why I did want to come out here and support you and
pull
up and let you know, like, it's organic and it's, everything is authentic.
Straight
but it's
up.
Like, I like the fact that you're not predictable.
Right. You know never, what I'm saying? Dude, never.
And the thing is, once people really understand like who you are as a person, and they'll understand your character and like really what you embody as a person, then think you know the sky's the limit with this.
I'm humbled, you know what I'm saying?
Like, don't take this for granted. You know what I mean? Because this is what we call media, but media is the voice.
Right.
So you have to
understand, it's the mouthpiece of the people.
You have to keep doing what you're doing and like taking it serious and still, but being not predictable with your subject matters and, you know, because I can imagine, you know.
I'm self-deprecating all the time.
Yeah.
Not defecating, but self-deprecating. Yeah, I love making fun of myself. I don't take myself too serious.
Yeah.
And that's what the people from Tarzan are going to love.
Yeah.
In this mayor. I'm different than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? I'm going to bring the energy to Tarzan, the energy needed. I'm going to inject that energy, that new lifeline, dude,
man,
that Tarzan needs.
Dog, you
know. You know what? We need to get more cocaine out there.
Hey, you know what? You know what you just brought to me right now? You are the Latino Rodney Dangerfield.
You remember Rodney Dangerfield?
You just brought him. It's in you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Especially, and you talk about
cocaine. I want some respect.
You talk about cocaine, too?
Huh?
And you talk about cocaine?
But, dude, cocaine is over the counter.
Now, I'm just saying, like, you know, that's Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. Like, you know.
It's jam.
Yeah.
Sweet like, jam,
bro,
baby.
Bro, you got it. You got it.
I think so.
Yes, you got it. I'm going to have to get you on 316 somehow, some way, man. We're going to have to, we're going to push your podcast or something. We're going to do something. I'm going to support you.
You should.
I'm going to support you.
Okay, you know, you can support me by, you can buy my book.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a great book called Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. It's a chronic, you know, basically a
chronic. Man, I heard about you and this limo driving stuff, and I'm like, man, like this guy right here.
I drove Snoop, dude, one time.
Okay, come on, give it to me, man.
All right, because he has a story tied up with, like, Snoop. And so we're going to just lay the salami on the table.
No dating, pause.
Lay that salami on the table, okay? All right.
I got to do this for our culture.
We're not taking any fucking prisoners. You're like, prisoners? What the fuck are you talking about? All right. So many years ago, I drove Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And he lived out in Chino Hills or something many years ago. And we stayed out. And I thought it was going to be like, I brought like my peanut butter and jelly, you know, like
overnight.
String cheese. I thought like for sure. I'm over here like a Boy Scout. All right, guys. I'm like trying to rub my hands together to keep us warm, you know, because it was really cold that one night. And I'm chilling, hanging out in the house and then right outside. And then he comes out, you know, like big old blunt weed. Just you'd imagine Snoop Dogg and his posse, dude. And then we're rolling deep. Like
literally
four SUVs and a stretch. And we get in the car, he gets in the car and we just go to different parties and it was like a award show night or something, and then we ended up partying after the fact. I thought, well, all right, you know, we're going to leave. That's it. That's a wrap. Okay. Thank you. And might get a tip.
Were you on a certain high knowing that you was driving Snoop? You know,
listen to this. So I forgot. I wasn't, like, after a while, I started, like, you know how you begin to follow, like, the lights in front of you because, dude, you don't know what's going on. You get deep in thought. You get so deep in thought. I mean, because this, I'm talking about some skunk weed back in the day.
Right.
Like real strong stuff. Oh, and then it's so like
contact, gotcha.
Yeah, dude. And so like I was like driving and then it felt like we weren't gonna arrive on time. And then it's just like, wait a minute, it seems like we've been on the road for like 3 hours.
Like, like damn, and, are we there yet? Shit.
Yeah, dude. And then the food tastes so good, you know, so delicious. I mean, you start getting the munchies. You start tasting the food.
Look. That's a man talking from
experience
from being high. Like he said, you get the munchies and shit. You want to eat everything.
Everything. Well, then I was like, what the fuck? Like
that's how we know you don't smoke weed no more.
No. Let me end up not for a long time. So anyway, I'm in the car, totally stoned out of my ass.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to the place. He parties up a storm. Then it's like 5 a.m. or something.
Okay.
Then I'm like, I take him back.
Yeah.
He rolls another nice blunt. And let's just say, I don't drive anymore. At that point, I'm like fucking sitting in the back with them because I'm all fucked up.
Damn.
Somebody else took the wheel. And I don't know that I was supposed to say that, but the company went under a long time ago, so it doesn't fucking matter.
They not going to sue me. So these motherfuckers is...
No NDAs. NDAs got burned.
Right.
We shredded those suckers.
Damn.
No, they went...
Who did you have drive it though? You don't know who it was?
I don't fucking remember. I was so high out of my ass, just laughing.
Damn, that's crazy. And then,
like, the other guy.
You took the white gloves off too?
What if I.
I thought them were drivers all wore white gloves, man.
That's for a funeral, bro.
Oh, shit.
Listen, it might as well have been one because let me tell you, it was crazy. Like, I had headaches for days, yeah. Dude. My head was throbbing like COVID.
Oh, COVID. Shit.
But that's before how I COVID. Thought. I was completely toasted.
Yeah.
I was done. And then finally, like, I rolled out, like, dude, I didn't even know. They were, like, fanning me.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, I woke up, there's people fucking fanning me. I'm like, where the fuck am I, dude? I was like, dude, I'm way out of, like, my league. It's not my deal. So, and finally, all right, so we get to his house, and then I don't even know what day it is.
Damn.
And then it's like, my phone is just buzzing off, like, crazy off the hinges. They're like, where'd you go?
Yeah.
Where'd you go? And then, where's the car at? And the car was, like, pinging somewhere else. Like, somebody took the limo elsewhere.
What?
Yeah. But, and then they brought it back, but it was, like, no gas. You know what I mean? Like, I had to push the freaking lid off. Oh, I was in the middle of, like, 605 freeway.
Wow.
Parked and asking, like, asking for money to get gas to get back to the company.
But Snoop was already at home.
He was already at home. He was safe and sound, and I'm sure he was.
Did he tip you big? Did he, you know, give you some dap and say good job?
Yeah, there's no paper there, bro. One of the things I will say, like, here, just I'll be honest. Dude, I get no love. I've never gotten love from a rapper, dude. Like for that. Real? There's no paper. There's no dough, bro. From like, dude, I can tell you. Let's talk about tips right now that we can.
Hey,
they don't. The only guy that tipped me was Akon. Akon tipped me like Asino. He's like, hey, bro, thank you so much for taking care of my girl or something. It was only like for a half hour. Yeah, yeah. But we were together for maybe 40 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. No. We were the. I took care of her, but not like that, B.
I lift up the damn the window shield and I lock the doors and I head of my business and did a line off of her titties. Like, okay, Akon, she's ready.
She's ready for you now. You take seconds. So, like, crazy, he goes, thank you for taking care of my friend. And he gave me like $100.
He
and
paid you to
get a Ferrari.
To do his girl.
Yeah. After. Let's change the subject. No, but I did it. Like, guys, no. None of that happened. It's funny, though. Like, I like that.
Oh,
that's why
shit.
I knew that I needed to bring you here. Because
my man,
gasoline.
Now I won't like thing, I won't like the black fire. Now like the say, man. You get the black fire now, dog. No, you get that
kind, man. We did by what's right. You know, there's no way.
Yeah.
No, but he did tip me $100, and he was one of the coolest. But aside of that, I didn't. And then had
rappers.
T.I. dude sucks, dude. I'm sorry, T.I.
Oh, why are you doing tip like
sorry.
That, bro?
T.I. dude. He can't be outside. It was 105 degrees outside his house.
Damn.
I was croaking, dude. I needed water. Like, water, water.
What?
And they're like, what the fuck? We got a crackhead here in the house.
Damn.
But they didn't come out and bring me any water whatsoever. They didn't offer anything for me. Finally, I knocked at the door and said, hey, man, you know, is there. But it just,
hey, man, you guys got anything?
You guys got a couple of drops of water that I could have? Say, you over there by any chance?
Anybody got a pee?
Do you forget a guy outside you needed to take care of? No. And I finally said, hey, the guy goes, hey, listen up. But Danny made up for it. The other, his handler. He goes, there's a theater room in the back, and it's fully stocked.
Yeah.
And then I just chilled in the theater room, watched a movie, and I got some water there. But it was,
funny.
It took, the end of the night, dude, but it was insane, bro, to say the least. Like, for a good 2 hours, I was wondering if I was going to make it out. Like, it's like one of those situations where you can't leave the post.
Yeah.
You know, you're almost like a security guard. You're on.
Jimmy, there's rules as a limo driver that you did not follow.
Okay, what's the rules? Let's see what's the rules.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't want to be the one to tell you the rules. Uh-huh. These are just some things that you're supposed to make.
No, I drank all of the water. It was 104.
I'm not talking about the water.
Which
I'm saying you can't be fucking, like, the artist girls. You can't be doing cocaine off their titties, bro. Like, you can't be smoking weed with the artist.
Yeah.
And then passing out and shit and giving the car to another person. You broke all the fucking rules, bro.
But we made the rules. We lived by our own rules.
These motherfuckers had to discontinue this name. They probably... they probably done changed that name about 20 times running through limo drivers.
Dude, let me tell you the story. a quick story. I drove this dude that was in the movie La Bamba.
Oh, man. And don't tell me you had.
Dude, let me tell you. No. Wait.
Did you have Richie with you?
Richie! No. Brother Paul. Richie was brother my guy. Paul, right? And
yeah.
I drove from LAX to his house. And we hit it off pretty good, but check this out, dude. Yeah. Like, we get off. It's a sedan. It's just a transfer, in a regular sedan, small car, and whatnot. He's like, all right, bro, I don't have the keys to get inside the house. So who's the first one to get killed? It's the limo driver. So who's the first one to fucking do the dirty work? The limo driver.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at me. He goes, bro, you're going to go through that fucking window. I'm like, are you fucking serious? I don't even fit.
Damn.
So I'm like, I make my way into the window. Yes. I mm-hmm. took one for the team, did mm-hmm. all that. The fucking, he had a lion in there, a tiger. It was like a scene from right out of the Hangover. It was a fucking tiger, some exotic animal or something.
That's crazy.
Right? Yeah, he had a big old dog. It was just a dog. So I was like, all
fuck
right.
The dog. It was a fucking lion in there. He had a rock roller, but the fucking lion is what I'm.
The lion was telling me, dude, be careful with the fucking Rottweiler, dude. I'm like, okay, dude, thanks. So I get into the house, open the door.
Yeah.
And then he has some guitars, and I start jamming, and I play a little rock and roll. I put a little Zeppelin,
uh-huh.
Started jamming with them, so did some music and stuff, and some strings. And then next thing you know, I rolls up a nice blunt. She's smoking, dude.
Who is this?
I don't know.
See what I mean? This motherfucker don't even know who the fuck.
I was so high. I was saying, listen.
This is crazy.
All right. So we're smoking. It's actually an open secret, guys. It's what's his name? Isai Morales.
Oh, yeah, he's okay.
Super cool dude. I love the guy. So we're hanging out and she's showing someone's guitars.
Make sure we add Isai Morales on this post so we can.
I actually do know this
he
guy.
He might
really
repost
well.
This shit.
Yeah, you never know. That'd be great.
That'd
right?
be it's a viral moment impossible. For us. See?
Yeah, we need that moment.
Hey,
right?
Yo, Isai. Make sure you share this shit.
I get so fucking high out of my mind. I'm like, I start. Like just strumming, right? That's some strumming.
Yeah.
I play like Sweet Child of Mine or something. She got him, And long, like the everlasting sound, and you're like, oh fuck. Yeah, I'm pretty out there, dude. I'm pretty toasted.
Yeah.
I knew it was high and
I can see that.
Hey, he goes, hey bro. Right? Because I got the contact from you from smoking earlier. Thank you. Big old blunt like this. No joke, like that big. He goes, hey brother, like we should go hang out. We should go down to the fucking Jewish deli down the street. I'm like, all right, and grab something. I'm like, okay, but who's driving? And he goes, you're driving, bro. You're the limo driver, fool. You're going to drive.
Right.
I'm like, all right, dude.
Hell yeah.
So I jump in the car, and I'm driving like 5 miles an hour going down the hill, down one of the fucking the canyons, right? Like slowly.
Oh,
and it felt like it took like an hour to get down there, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But you know what? He got down, gave me $50.
Yeah.
And he was cool. And then we remained
cool.
$50
bucks back then probably was.
That was a lot.
That was $50. A lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, I was able to pay my rent, my car payment.
It's probably almost like $200.
Like $500.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It wasn't the 70s or 80s. Calm down. It was like the early 2000s maybe, if that. Okay. Yeah. So then I get the $50 and hey, bro, stayed in touch. And when I got to the, back to the station, all right, dispatch, they're like, hey, dude. Where the fuck have you been, bro? We've been calling. I'm like, no, you haven't. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I got
no
signal.
They had cell phones then, or was it beepers?
No, they didn't have beepers. Okay, calm down, MySpace. Mr. MySpace here. Hey, listen. No, we were sending. Our
no, phone. I had the listen. Block the block phone with the.
Yeah, the cinder block phone. Listen, we're sending signals to China.
Oh,
listen,
shit.
We're sending our mail to the fucking Pony Express.
right. For real. No, listen,
so they, like, where the hell have you been, dude? I got no signal up there.
Yeah.
It was Metro PCS. It was one of those.
Yeah. I mean, but, anywhere in the canyons, though.
So for 3 or 4 hours, I don't know the fuck I was. Dude, like, I lost track of time. It was really cold. Just jamming.
Yeah.
And I got home. There was blisters on my finger. Next morning, I was like, how'd I get this?
Damn.
Like, that felt like a crack hit, probably. Damn. Dude, like, shit, I couldn't even feel my fingers. Like, when we first started jamming.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think the limo was almost like.
The limo was,
I think it was almost your kryptonite.
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude. It might as well be, yeah. I think so.
For sure.
It
did some things for you and some things to you.
Dude, it was, what? I'll tell you something.
Oh, shit.
B, one of the craziest things in the olden days, I had a friend that had bad pictures, right? Polaroids. That's how old this was.
He was a limo
driver in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, and he took pictures, photos with everyone, name it. And he took pictures with Elvira. Who didn't like Elvira? Remember, she's sitting in that fucking long couch.
Yeah.
And then, like Cleopatra, and going, like, tonight's showing.
Right.
It's going to be one for the books. Or, like, some crazy, creepy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, every guy, like, fantasized on her, you know, her buddies.
What's her buddies? You mean her titties?
What?
Oh,
you're not allowed to say that here, dude.
Oh, okay.
Now the show's over.
Oh, damn. I'm like, cocaine's okay, but titties isn't.
Okay. Hey, when is cocaine okay, but the titties aren't?
Right.
Do you like the cocaine in between the titties or what?
I mean, ain't that what you said? You said you sniffed the cocaine off her titties.
Off her asshole.
Why
her asshole.
While Akon was in there doing an interview.
Well, he was going like this guy. Listen, so he had pictures of Elvira, dude. Like, naked pictures in the limo with her.
Okay.
I was like, are you fucking insane, dude? Like, you have pictures of Elvira?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yeah. It's just showing me, like, check this one out. Check that one out. What the fuck? He said that in the olden days. Get this, okay?
Yeah.
Not only would you be able to pay your bills just on your tips alone, like everything you got, you know, throughout the night. So, like, on any given weekend, you'd make, like, $500 tips alone, okay? Not you know, counting the check that you would get at the end of the week.
Right.
So you can live off your tips, basically.
Right.
It's pretty awesome. But then also, too, you have, you know, a dual service, because then you can also slang, dude. Mm-hmm. You could be like selling dope in the you could just supply them with the drugs, you know. And I'm sure a lot of shenanigans happened in those limos. He was telling me stories like limo driving was the whole thing.
You sure a lot of things happen? A lot of shenanigans happens in a limo.
Back in the day, because we had cameras in our limos. So all you motherfuckers, you know, in the farting and whatnot, it was all in there.
Right.
It's all in
there. So you just deleted your own footage?
I was the one, I was filming them. It was a porn on wheels.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh, did you order pizza?
No, this is the chick that you just said you wanted to have.
Honey?
Yeah.
She was the one on top of your car. You're like, is that what you call it now?
Bro, you said you wanted something to do a line off of, so I made it call for you.
Let's talk about, we had so much fun, dude. I forgot we're in our podcast, in our radio.
Yeah, you know, my bad.
That's cool. So tell me, when you got involved with Wu-Tang early on in your career, like you really got discovered when you're in high school. Tell us the story.
Yeah. I think my senior year, but my man Supreme Tarif, you know what I mean? He used to do Wu-Tang Productions and stuff like that. And so, you know, he was in Sacramento often. And so I guess he had heard about some, you know, shows we was doing. And he found out about us, and we end up, you know, signing a contract, you know, to Rat Pack Records, which is something that we created.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we grew it, you know what I'm saying? Got probably about, it was like the West Coast Wu-Tang, basically. So it was just me, my group, Funky Diagnosis. Then we expanded, we did clips, and then we got my man, rest in peace, King Kahali, John Doe at the time. And so we basically was like really the West Coast Wu-Tang. That's what he was creating, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So we used to, when they went on Arsenio Hall, you know, I was there, me and my producer.
93,
yeah, Delirious. Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So we got to witness the whole thing in the flesh. You know what I mean? It was a dope experience.
Well, I got to say, I mean, that's every child's dream, dude. Like, you did early on.
Yeah, at that time, it was super big. You know, I'm in a van with the whole Wu-Tang, and Method sitting right behind me, and RZA next to me, and, like, Inspect the Deck, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just smoking in a van, going to a show or something, and
Hot boxers.
Oh my God. Like, I asked Mef to pass me the blunt, and they was like, Mef don't share his weed. So I didn't get to hit his weed, but then, you know, somebody else gave me a blunt, and I was just like, the weed they had, it just had me. Man, I was
days
choking.
For days.
Oh,
yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Days.
Yeah, man. Ghostface, everybody, man. Shout out to the Wu, man. Tarif, Supreme.
Shout out.
You know what I'm saying? The Wu's my guys. Raekwon. Definitely, you know what I mean? I got a record with Raekwon, you know what I mean?
Wow. That's so impressive, dude.
Yeah.
You've done quite a bit of stuff, and you're lived, and you're so young.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think I wasted my time on this earth. You know what I mean? I've always been a go-getter and somebody that never been put in a box. Yeah, a hustler for sure. That,
your mentality, how important is, we talked earlier on before we got into the shenanigans, which is fun, which is really crazy and just uncharacteristic of us, you know, you and I. We had really never had this, like, back and forth the way we did. And it was fun. It was fun. Let's, how important is it, do you believe, in like a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset? You know, so people have fixed mindsets. They believe that people already come almost, it's innate. Like, it's either you got it or you don't. You got that X factor or you don't. However, growth mindset, on the other hand, right?
Yeah.
You're completely feeding your brain.
Yeah.
You're feeding. You know that there's trial by fire almost. And then you get past one hurdle, and you just say, it's only going to make me better next time. And you know, it only, you polish yourself as you go, kind of thing. Are you which you believe most? Like, do you think you have the growth mindset, or do you believe it's like the fixed mindset? You already came. It's kind of hard because your father gave you the, you know, in some respects, his genes almost. Like, you know, and you were already like, you sort of were born into it almost, know, versus, so it's kind of, it might be a little hard to discern, like, and say, oh, well, I don't know.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is, actually, because, you know, I mean, I think both of them kind of is true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think it is a such thing as the it factor, you know what I'm saying? Just having that it, but then the growth mindset is things you learn along the way, your journey, you know what I mean? It can help, like, keep you prepared for, like, not being settled for the things that you do, like, well in the industries that you do, like, you know, make your mark in or whatever. But it's like, okay, don't be content with that. Like, there's always something else, you know. And I think just me being a creator, it allows me to be in a space of always being in, you know.
Never conform,
but just, like, I'm a
ever-changing, ever
evolving. Inventionist, you know what I mean? Like, I invent things, you know what I mean? So I have products that I've invented, you know, things that I'm working on. Like, you know, I'm intuitive to that space, the creative space.
You're always in the creative space, bro. Ever since, like, I first met you, you're always, like, evolving. You're always moving forward. You're always, like, you know, the latest, you know, cutting edge of technology, cutting edge of whatever it is. Like, I'm going to get involved with this business. Mm-hmm. And you're always on the phone making it happen, making these businesses happened. So I really, you know, hats off to that, to you, man. And
appreciate,
I think, like, a lot of people have, you know, nowadays more so than before than ever, because the social media, you know, these, all these platforms, they teach you things that we didn't have when we were growing up.
Man, I know.
Remember that?
Like, I was just telling my nephew, today is my nephew's birthday, David.
Happy birthday, David.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, happy birthday to you, boy. Birthday, 17 bud. Years old. But I was just telling him, I said, man, you know, I'm proud of you. You know, he's 17. He got all A's, 4.0. And,
good man.
You know, he's been through some things in life. But I just told him, I said, you know, don't get complacent with, you know, like, you just being smart.
Right.
You know, I said, there's a lot in this world for you to see and do.
Right.
I said, so use that wit you have, that smartness that you have, and go stretch. Go stretch out in the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
expansive. Just get out there.
Don't worry about what you see out in front of your doorstep.
Right.
You know, that's just your doorstep.
To be quite frank with you, you're right. There's the world at their fingertips, so to speak. Like, you have so much out there. There's more than,
I just told them, don't wait till you're 25 or 38 or, you know, don't wait till then to start saying, oh, I want to go try to do this.
Yeah.
I said, start early.
Procrastination
is
obviously, like, a big deterrent, you know? Like, we tend to put everything in the back burner, and then later we forget where we're at.
Yeah.
You know?
I basically literally told him, like, it's like golf. Like, that's why I like golf, because golf gives you a certain number to hit 18 holes, right? Mm-hmm. 36, 38, whatever that number is.
Right.
And
hit a bucket.
It's called par when you're doing it at that pace of that number.
Mm-hmm.
But the object of golf is to be under par.
Right.
So you don't want to do it in 36. You want to do it in 28 or 29. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or so 32. So you want to be ahead of the game. So basically, I'm telling them, stay ahead of the game. Don't wait. Yeah. Don't play par. Be ahead of the game.
It's always very important to overstretch yourself. You know, I've always been of the belief, growing up with my mom's super, you know, we had very regimented in the way she was. She went to a military school. Mm-hmm. So I was taught early on that when I was a kid, I had to learn both languages. Nice. You know, and it wasn't okay to talk a certain way. Or you just because you grew up in a certain neighborhood, like I grew up in East L.A., that sound like a person from East L.A. or what's perceived as a person from East L.A. Like, you can't ever put yourself in a box. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom's always say, your only sin is that you're poor. Mm-hmm. Poverty. Mm-hmm. But poor or poverty can be, you can be poor physically, like, kind of have the certain threads or the clothes or whatnot in the place. But you could be rich in your brain. Rich, you can escape somewhere. You can escape with books. Yeah. You can escape with movies. Dream. Never stop dreaming. Yeah. Keep the dream alive. Facts. But not only, you and I always talk, keep the dream alive, but actually make the dream a reality.
Yes.
Because you could stop at saying, I got dreams. Everyone has dreams.
Put the work in.
Put the work
to
in.
To make it a reality.
That's it. Sure. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we've always strived for in my life. I had so many hurdles and things that got in the way. But, you know, by and large, a lot of people just stop short of that. It's almost like there's that golden door. Like, think about the golden door. Like, somebody's knocking at different doors.
Yeah.
Real estate agent, right? A realtor goes and knocks doors. And it's that last door that could have been the very door to this success. Where that house, they would have made the deal and maybe could double dip and sell their house. And then, you know, have them kind of escort them, help them buy their next house or whatnot.
Yeah.
But because you didn't believe in that last door, you could have knocked that.
You gave up halfway
there, and a lot of people give up. This is like a boulevard of broken dreams. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
L.A.
Yeah.
And I think that you have proven the opposite. You're proven that, and like myself and you and other people, a lot of people out there that hustle, you know, not only just keep the dream alive, but make it a reality. Which you know, if you keep chipping at the rock, the water will eventually just drown you.
Yeah.
You know, you're drowning a freaking dam, or you know.
Yeah.
But and that's really the reality of the matter, and you know, you're really preaching to the choir, dude. I really love what you're saying. That's just totally, you know, on par with what speaking of golf, mm-hmm. with what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so then you get on this other venture with liquor, right? Tell us about that.
Definitely. Shout out to my man Big Percy. You know what I mean? One of the CEOs of True Legacy Vodka. He used to manage Snoop. Okay. And so basically, you know, he created True Legacy Vodka.
Okay.
And so, you know, we came together, you know what I'm saying? And, man, he was like, I want you on the team. So, you know what I mean? We just got the building, mm-hmm. doing some great things with the branding, awesome, the marketing. And
I commend you, bro. Seriously.
Thank you, brother.
And what about the whole thing that you're taking the world by storm with this new American Idol-like show situation where you're going to have singers, three mm-hmm. stages, three mics? Sounds really quick before we leave. Wow.
Okay.
Seems like we just got here, bro.
Yeah. So
times of the wasting.
I know, right? So, yeah, 316s. I want everybody to go on Instagram and follow 316s Live. It's mm-hmm. THREE, mm-hmm. the number 16 with an S. LIVE Live, and that's on Instagram. And so basically what I've created,
the premise of that show,
it puts these artists on a creative stage, and they have to actually write a song in front of the studio audience and celebrity judges, and they're going to record that song, and mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be huge. Like, we have a lot of celebrities involved, a lot of artists, and we're doing rap, R&B, you know what I'm saying, Afro beats, reggae, pop.
Love reggae.
You know, we're doing it all. So it's just going to be something real creative. I partnered up also with Heartbeat Productions, which is Kevin Hart's studio.
No less.
Yeah. And it's just...
You got some big power players, dude.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you real quickly. It begs the question, dude. Too short. Give us a too short story.
Oh, too short?
A short period of time that we have.
Man, well, shoot. Short is just like always been the big homie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, he always been the big homie. Always been 100 with me. You know, we did a record together, me, him, and Corrupt.
What?
And shot a video, yeah. And so it's been a blessing to work with him. He always just been, like, having my back. Every time mm-hmm. he come to the city, he, you know, make sure I pull up. And just, he always just been A1, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real. So
he's a legend, dude, that guy.
He's a
living legend.
Man, icon, for real. And he's so humble. Like, it don't come humble like Short.
Like Cube, too.
Cube is humble, too. I got to shout out to Cube because, you know, we had had a situation with one of my inventions, the ball locker, mm-hmm. and me and Cube had, you know, had some conversation about putting together. But I love what he's doing with the big three. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we still going to try to push this agenda, get this ball locker situation with him. But I love what he's doing right now. But, yeah, it's, you know, all these people has been like mentors in my life and people that I've, you know, developed a relationship with to where, you know, they respect what I'm doing. And I obviously salute them for being, you know, a role model in the industry. You know what I'm saying?
I salute you and salute them as well. Grew up with, you know, watching them and notice, you know, coming from like Compton.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and putting Compton on the map, literally.
Yeah.
People all over the world know where Compton and they're curious. Yeah, so they come out here, like, where's Compton at? You know, like the first thing they did, I remember like driving limos, people would say,
yeah,
you take me where Compton's, are you sure you want to go? It's like 10 o'clock. I don't think I want to go.
Yeah.
And I live in LA, you know?
For real.
But anyway, dude, it's fascinating, your story. There's more to it. I think we should do a part two. I think we got to do part two.
Yeah, we didn't even cover a lot of stuff.
We didn't even cover.
You know, I mean, you know, I
deviated
there for a little bit. I like what you're doing too. So it's like, you know, a mutual respect thing. You know,
thank you, buddy. And
we got the applesauce too. Can't forget that.
That's right, the applesauce. It was good, dude.
Holmes Mouthwater and applesauce. You know what I mean? You guys got to go to Walmart or Amazon and order it. It's called Holmes Mouthwater and applesauce. Holmes is Holmes. Mouthwater and applesauce. You know,
I got high on that stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, we got the best flavors, and it's organic. It's organic, no GMO. It's great for the kids.
It's good stuff.
You know what I'm saying? So we doing something special, and we black owned. Shout out to my business partner Ethan. You know what I'm saying? He's out there making some great things happen. We working on a Disney situation.
What?
So it's a lot of stuff that we're doing.
Dude,
right,
we got to unpack some more. We need part two, guys. Right? All the viewership saying part two, please. So you know, I think we're gonna have you back in the studio soon. Yeah. My boy B Smooth, guys, give it up for my boy. It's been such a pleasure and honor.
Hey, yo, give it up to my boy Jimmy, Almost Famous Podcast, because he did a hell of a job.
Thank you, buddy.
You know what I mean? Shout out to you, dog. You know what I'm saying? For real, bro.
Much love to you.
Man, come on.
Guys, tune in. Almost Famous weekly, and don't forget to follow.
Oh yeah, follow
social media, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Follow me if you into, you know, watching somebody, you know, grow and be inspired by. So, you know, don't come on my page with no hate, because we don't do none of that. You know what I mean? I'm all about positivity. So I'm at Instagram, The Real B Smooth. The Real B Smooth. B-S-M-O-O-V-E. The Real B-S-M-O-O-V-E.
I'm Jim Francis Mesa. You can follow me everywhere. Google me. Just don't follow me home, motherfuckers, because I got B Smooth. Kick your ass. And vote for me. Vote for Tarzana Mayor, honorary mayor.
Yes, yes.
Francis Mason.
Shout out to that boy Francis, man, because he's doing some great things in the community. Y'all don't know everything that he does, but trust me, he is a role model. He is a leader.
And
he is somebody to be respected and looked upon to get advice and the understanding of, you know, what's going on in the environments in the community. So he's always been A1, so that's the reason why I showed up.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart,
brother.
And you know what? That's our show. You know, that's it. Thank you so much. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday night, 8 to 9. Always a hell of a show, right? I'd never disappoint.
And make sure when you get in your limo next time, you make sure the driver is not named Jimmy.
Uh-huh. And make sure you look for some residual cocaine. All right, guys. Take care. That's my show. Bye now.
Peace.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mesa, only on LA Talk Radio.